Good afternoon, listeners, and thank you for joining me for You Can Cook Too. This recipe that I'm doing for you is a main course, and it's vegetarian. It can even be vegan if you want to, because there's some cheese in it which you can leave out. My son is vegetarian, and he had it for his Christmas dinner, and he hadn't had it before, and his response when I gave it to him was, wow, it's really nice. It's a long recipe, but it's very easy to do. So let's go through the recipe in chunks. First of all, you need, for four people, you need a whole eggplant or aubergine, as they're better known, about 1 pound in weight. You need 2 tablespoons of oil, and you need salt and pepper. So what you do with that chunk of the recipe is you cut the aubergine into 3/4 inch cubes, and you put it into a baking dish lined with parchment, for be easier to clean it up afterwards. So you put the eggplant with the oil, the olive oil, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, and with a bit of salt and pepper into that, and you bake it until it's slightly brown around the edges, and you toss it halfway through cooking. It'll take about 25 to 30 minutes. So while that's happening, you get a cup of small tomatoes, either cherry tomatoes or grape tomatoes, and you half them. And you take a teaspoon of olive oil and salt and pepper, and you mix them all together. And on a smaller baking tray, with covered again with a sheet to help you to clean it up, you put the tossed tomatoes, the teaspoon of oil, and a sprinkling of salt and pepper, and you put them in to cook. Now, what I do is I put them into the same oven as the aubergines, and so you put these in halfway through the aubergine cooking, because these will cook in about 12 minutes. So in an ideal situation, both the aubergines and the tomatoes should be roasted at the same time. You then boil a large pot of salted water, to which you add orzo. Orzo, if you're wondering, is a pasta. And when you look for it in the supermarkets, and it's available now in most supermarkets, it looks like rice. So you might mistake it for rice. Read the label carefully, please. It's a bit more creamy in colour than rice. It's slightly longer and oblong as well, but it's about the same size as rice, but it's got little peaky ends. So you boil the pasta, the orzo, in that. Now, you can use any other pasta if you want, but orzo has a particularly, I would say, sweet flavour that goes with this mixture. So you cook it for about 12 minutes, and then when it's cooked, drain it off and keep some of the cooking water in case you need to add it to the orzo again to loosen it up. So you transfer the orzo to a large serving bowl, and into it you put the eggplant that you've cooked and the tomatoes that you've cooked. On top of that, crumble a half cup of feta, or less if you don't like cheese very much, anything from a third to a half cup. You put a quarter cup of chopped basil and 1/4 cup of fresh parsley over that, and 2 tablespoons of toasted pine nuts. So you've got layers, as it were. You've got the orzo, you've got your eggplant, you've got your tomatoes, and then you've crumbled your feta and your fresh herbs and pine nuts. And then you put a dressing over that. And the dressing consists of 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 1 tablespoon of lemon juice, 2 cloves of garlic minced or pressed, 1/4 teaspoon of salt. If you want to, you can add some red pepper flakes, literally a pinch. I don't, because I think the dressing, the lemon garlic dressing on its own is enough, and ground pepper if you need to. And then you put that lemon garlic dressing over the whole thing. So there's a rich combination of flavours, and with the fresh parsley and fresh basil, it feels very, very refreshing and very light, and you will feel very virtuous for having had that dish as a result. Because there is the wow factor about it, I decided to combine it with an unusual piece of music. It's a very well-known piece of music that brings people to their feet, and it too can induce excitement when you hear it. It did in the composer Handel, and it's called the Hallelujah Chorus from Handel's Messiah. And it has a Dublin connection, because Handel was living in Dublin at the time that he wrote it in 1741, and he was poverty-stricken. He was in lodgings, but he had no money, and he thought he would have to go to prison because he would become destitute and bankrupt. But a friend of his in the UK composed words based on the Bible, the New Testament, devoted to the birth of Jesus. And he saw these words and he put them to music and composed Handel's Messiah late in 1741. Now, at the time that he was composing, he worked day and night to get it done, sometimes not eating, sometimes not sleeping. When his servant in the lodgings he was staying in would bring him food, he would sometimes leave it because he wanted to get the piece completed. And it was performed in Dublin for the first time in 1742 in a little theatre off Fish Amble Street. It has since been destroyed. It's no longer there, but there is a stone marking the fact that Handel's Messiah received its first performance there. And it was greeted with jubilance. The audience absolutely loved it. And then he tried to get it performed in London, and initially it was to be performed there in 1742 also. But for some reason it was cancelled. I think the promoters didn't feel it would work, and it was cancelled 6 times in all. It was not performed again, having been performed initially in Dublin, until 1749. The king himself attended. The king was George II at the time, and he attended it, and he was so entranced when he heard the Hallelujah Chorus that he stood, and everybody in the audience stood, because, of course, if the monarch stands, you have to follow suit. And so the tradition has grown up now of standing for the Hallelujah Chorus. The money that the performance raised was used to help the orphans who were housed in the Foundling Hospital in London. And of course, it is now traditionally performed at Christmas and Easter time. So I hope you enjoy and stand for the Hallelujah Chorus.